Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we answer your questions from around the country about pressing issues, such as how to get involved in politics, what is going on with the rise of Christian nationalism versus constitutional libertarianism, how do we dissect that, and so much more. This is Charlie Kirk, host of the Charlie Kirk Show. Before we get started, email us at freedom@charliekirk.com. We love to hear from you and get you guys engaged with what we're doing here at the Charlie Kirk Show, which is the fastest growing conservative libertarian podcast of its kind. And also, please make sure you are subscribed to our podcast. Type in the Charlie Kirk Show, press subscribe, leave a review, give us those 5-star ratings. Thank you guys so much. Buckle up. We got a great show in store. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
What's up, everybody? We are doing a live show here on the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. So many of you guys have been subscribing, so thank you for that. We are live at Turning Point USA headquarters here in Phoenix, Arizona. We're going to do an Ask Me Anything where we're going to field questions from you guys. But right now, if you guys can help us out, type in Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider. Press subscribe. You guys have been so great with that. So thank you. So we're going to do some questions. And we're here at Turning Point USA headquarters. This is where Alex Clark does her show, Poplitics. And so we're live here in Phoenix, Arizona, taking your questions. So what do we got first?
Charlie, do you think that California is lost for conservatives for good?
Boy, is California lost. So if you want to look at a failed state, it's definitely California. I never want to say that any state is totally lost, because some people thought, you know, 20 or 30 years ago, some states that were just so liberal would never become conservative again. There's a lot of examples of states like that that all of a sudden now have become deep red states. Even some such as states that were kind of on the edge, and great would be Wisconsin. A great example would be Wisconsin. Wisconsin was a reliably blue state in the 1990s and 2000s, and now Donald Trump won, of course, a couple elections of Scott Walker and Senator Ron Johnson. But California has some serious problems, let me tell you. And we talked about this on another episode of the Charlie Kirk Show. You know, the porous southern border, the homelessness, the defecation, the failing public schools. I'll tell you that there are so many problems in California, and you see the Democrats always like to say, oh, we need gun control. You know, we need more limitations on individual initiative and freedom and liberty. What California really needs is Democrat control. They are a one-party state. They really are. They're a one-party state. And because of that, there's no competition to actually provide success or provide results, I should say, to your constituents. The best states, the best performing states economically, the best performing states financially and fiscally, are states that are actually very competitive politically, because the politicians actually have to go and say, here's what I did for you, now elect me again, because here's what I did. And if I don't do that, then you could recall me. And my now new home state of Florida is a great example of that. Florida has school choice. It has 1/4 the amount of state employees that New York has. And I think 1/6 the amount of employees, state employees that California has, even per citizen. We're talking about even the population adjusted per citizen. Has one of the best education systems. It has term limits. And you know what the income tax is in Florida? 0%. So for those of you in California, my heart goes out to you guys, but that 0% income tax in Florida is rather attractive. The only thing California has to offer is the weather. And even that is not as good at times as it should be. But I think America should look a lot more like Florida and a lot less like California. And you know what the approval rating is for Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida? 68%. Try getting it that high, Gavin Newsom. Next one.
Charlie, do you think that big tech bias against conservatives is having a demonstrable effect on elections? And if so, what is the appropriate conservative response?
Yeah, I mean, look, this is one of the biggest issues. And I have to say, the biggest issues that I hear about in the conservative base is, number one, immigration. And number two, tech, and talking about tech tyranny and oligarchs, and, you know, the tech oligarchs, if you will, that have so much power in our kind of culture and country. And so I did some thinking about this, and I was reading the Federalist Papers. You know, that's what I do on weekends, is I read the Federalist Papers. Basically, I hear that's what a lot of people do with their free time. But, you know, when I read the Federalist Papers, I realized that the founding fathers were always worried about centralized power. And they said that the biggest amount of centralized power that they were worried about was government. Now, here's a question for you guys to contemplate. Who's more powerful, Google or the United States government? And there could be arguments for both, but Google has almost unlimited, unrestricted power, and they don't have anyone ideologically that actually works for them that believes in conservative libertarian values or principles. And so, look, I think big tech is one of the biggest threats to freedom and liberty, and I don't know the correct answer for it. I mean, I think just saying, oh, we should do nothing, total laissez-faire, I don't know if that's the answer anymore. We did a podcast on this, too, that you guys can scroll back and listen to on the Charlie Kirk Show, where we talk about how basically Google, Facebook, Instagram, obviously being part of Facebook, and Amazon have so much power, have so much control, and that if we do not do something serious sometime soon, our freedoms and liberties could be encroached upon. And so, I think that that's something very important to talk about.
It was recently announced that Jared Kushner is directly involved with the building of the southern border wall. Question number one, why is there not more wall built? And question number two, will Kushner's involvement help finally get this accomplished?
Well, look, we do have some of the wall being built. And I think, look, I'm a friend of Jared, and I think that he's going to execute on it quite well. And we need to build the wall. Look, there is a crisis on our southern border. We have tens of thousands of people illegally entering into our country every single year. They're not immigrants. These are not immigrants. These are border jumpers and line cutters. In fact, it's a insult to actual immigrants. When these people enter our country illegally and they enter the way that they do, the amount of drugs, the amount of children that are being sex trafficked, the porous southern border makes our country more dangerous and it puts our sovereignty at risk. And so I have to tell you that the wall is critical to our national security. It's critical to our sovereignty. It's critical to who we are as a country. This is also why English should be the official language of the United States. This is why that we should not allow sanctuary cities or sanctuary states. And I've even said that we should end birthright citizenship. So explain to me why somebody who illegally crosses into the United States of America across the southern border and might then have a child 10 months later, why that child should be a United States citizen while they broke the laws. And don't take my word for it. Nikki Haley, who, gets under fire by certain people, but she's a friend of mine, she said that if you break the law to enter our country, you're going to break the law while you're in our country. And I tend to agree with that. Not to mention the tens of thousands of crimes that are committed by illegal aliens in our country, the amount of our prisons that are being overrun by illegals that are in America. The southern border needs to be secure, and it's a disgrace that our politicians have not secured the southern border. This is something that we talk about quite a lot on our podcast, and we're going to continue to do so.
Next question. Charlie, can we trust the polls coming out that seem to indicate Trump has nearly 30% of the black vote?
So look, there's been three polls that have shown that President Trump is doing quite well in the black community. 34%, I think 33%, and many of these polls reflect that. And I have to give a lot of credit to the people that have been in the black exit of the Democrat Party movement. Blexit, Candace Owens, we're very proud of you, of the work that you have done. It's extraordinary. It really is. And you're making a very serious difference in our country and our culture, and you deserve huge amount of praise for it. Also, Terrence Williams, David Harris Jr., and many others. We've seen such a big impact. I'm telling you right now, if this black exit from the Democrat Party continues, President Trump will get elected in such a convincing way. He'll win states like New Jersey. I mean, it's unbelievable. Not to mention the lowest ever black poverty rate, lowest ever black unemployment rate. We see such amazing success and results, such as criminal justice reform, such as opportunity zones, enterprise zones. President Trump is going to do super well in the black community. And I just love seeing President Trump getting this kind of support in communities that have traditionally he's not succeeded in. I have that new book coming out, MAGA Doctrine. And part of the MAGA Doctrine is playing offense where conservatives have traditionally not won. And part of that is going into communities like the black community and saying, hey, what do you have to lose? Five words that will get President Trump elected in 2020, reelected: school choice for black kids. School choice for black kids will get him elected in 2020. And I can't wait to see this black exit from the Democrat Party continue. In some states, did you know the week after Christmas sees the heaviest caseload for police? Break-ins spike every single year during the holidays because families are traveling and burglars know that they have expensive gifts lying around. What's crazy is that only 1 in 5 homes have home security, probably because most companies don't make it easy. I can tell you from personal experience. You got to unpack this stuff. They got to come over to the house. It's expensive. It's long-term contracts. It's astronomical monthly fees. It's a disaster. But that's why SimpliSafe is my choice for home security. My only choice for home security. It's comprehensive professional home security at a fair price. And right now, is the best time of year to get a Simply Safe security system. My listeners get a free security camera plus a huge discount on your security system. Simply Safe protects every room, door, and window with 24/7 professional monitoring. A smart lock and video doorbell defend your front door from porch pirates. Inside, an arsenal of sensors and cameras cover every inch of your home. And guess what? Simply Safe makes it easy on you. There's no contract, no hidden fees, or fine print. So right now, visit simplysafe.com/charlie to get a free camera. That's right. They will give you a free camera. Simplysafe.com/charlie. Prices are always fair and honest, starting at $15 a month. Simplysafe.com/charlie. There's bad people out there. They're on the loose. They're prowling. What are you going to do about it? You better secure yourself at simplysafe.com/charlie.
Charlie, with so much speculation going on about Jeffrey Epstein, we haven't heard you talk about it too much. So, what do you think? Did Jeffrey Epstein kill himself?
Look, there's a lot of questions around Epstein's death. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I didn't take the original account at face value, and I think a lot of decent-minded people don't as well. I actually think the conventional wisdom is now that there is some nefarious activity around his death. But I will say this. I think that if the media really wants to investigate this story, first they have to purge their own. James O'Keefe, Project Veritas, got this tape, leaked tape of how ABC that killed the Jeffrey Epstein story. Play tape.
I've had the story for 3 years. I've had this interview with Virginia Roberts. We would not put it on the air. First of all, I was told, who's Jeffrey Epstein? No one knows who that is. This is a stupid story. Then the palace found out that we had her whole allegations about Prince Andrew and threatened us a million different ways. We were so afraid we wouldn't be able to interview Kate and Will that also quashed the story. And then Alan Dershowitz was also implicated in because of the planes. She told me everything. She had pictures. She had everything. She was in hiding for 12 years. We convinced her to come out. We convinced her to talk to us. It was unbelievable what we had. Clinton. We had everything. I tried for 3 years to get it on to no avail, and now it's all coming out, and it's like these new revelations, and I freaking had all of it. I'm so pissed right now. Like, every day I get more and more pissed because I'm just like, oh my God, what we had was unreal. Other women backing it up. Hey, yep. Brad Edwards, the attorney, 3 years ago saying, there will come a day when we will realize Jeffrey Epstein was the most prolific pedophile this country has ever known. I had it all 3 years ago.
So that was Amy Robach from ABC News. Unbelievable audio. She had the story, she had the people, and yet it was the media that covered up for this animal, Jeffrey Epstein, and they did nothing. They've never been held accountable for it, ever. So they would rather protect these super predators than actually do real investigative journalism. And guess what? People are silent about it. And people need to start going to prison forever for this. And you know what? That might mean Prince Andrew. You know what? If he's an aristocratic child predator, then he should be held accountable for what he did. That includes every person who can be proven under a jury of their peers that engaged in this sort of activity with that animal, Jeffrey Epstein. Next question.
Charlie, now that Warren seems stalled, Bloomberg has entered the race, Kamala is out, and Biden has remained steady, who do you think is most poised to win the Democratic presidential nomination?
This is a great question. So I get this question a lot. The answer is, I'm not a Democrat first and foremost. Thank goodness. I'm so happy and grateful that I live in America, and that's exactly why I'm not a Democrat. Not exactly why, but it's large in part why. So I'm going to go to realclearpolitics.com. I'm going to give you guys the firsthand analysis of exactly what I believe about that question. But first, I hope you guys love football. I hope you guys, because if you love football, you're probably a happier person. And if you don't love football, I hope you guys love some sports. I love sports. I think sports can be a metaphor for so many different things. We got some massive college football coming up. We got the Pac-12 championship where the Ducks are against Utah. The Ducks screwed it up. The Ducks screwed it up against Arizona State. The table has been set for them and they screwed it up. Auburn beat Alabama. That needed to happen. Everything was perfect and they lost to a very mediocre Arizona State team. I can't say that too loudly here at our Turning Point USA headquarters in Phoenix, Arizona, because half my office went to Arizona State University. At least it seems that way. Nevertheless, we've got some great games coming up. We got the SEC Championship game, which will finally not include Alabama, which I'm pretty thrilled about. We got LSU versus Georgia. All I can say is I actually like Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow seems like a class act. I really like him. I think he's a terrific guy. In fact, I would love to see Joe Burrow go up against Ohio State because that's where he used to play and they decided not to play him. But if you guys are totally disagreeing with my analysis, go to betonline.ag, use that promo code podcast1 and get in on the action. Now, Kirby Smart, a head coach of Georgia, I think he might be able to cook up a little bit of mastery. I think that he might be able to pull off an upset against LSU and get Georgia into the college football playoff. That would make me feel a lot better as a Ducks fan, because then that would mean, okay, Oregon would not have gotten over Georgia. But if LSU wins the SEC championship game, I will not feel as good. We also have the Big Ten championship game. We got Wisconsin versus Ohio State. Ohio State's playing like they're the best team in the country. I predict an LSU-Ohio State national championship, but don't sleep on Clemson. Clemson has something to prove, and they're tired of people doubting them. NFL action, we got Dallas at Chicago. I like Chicago, and remember, if you guys want to get on the action, go to betonline.ag. We got Baltimore at Buffalo. I like Baltimore. San Francisco at New Orleans. I like San Francisco. Kansas City at New England. I like New England. And Seattle at the Rams. I like Seattle. So again, get on the action. Use that promo code podcast1 at betonline.ag. Go Ducks, everybody. Let's see if they can win against Utah, which should be a very winnable game. BetOnline.ag to get in on the action. And so, look, I'm looking at the Real Clear Politics average right now, and the national average has Biden up 11, has Buttigieg up 5.7 points in Iowa, has Buttigieg up 3 points in New Hampshire, and has Biden up 9 points in Nevada, and Biden up a whopping 19 points in South Carolina. Just so we understand the betting odds, though, Buttigieg has come into second place now in the betting odds. And the person that I just can't figure out, the person that, and I've done commentary on this before, but Biden is up 11 points nationally, which is just amazing to me. I got to play this again. Not all of you guys listen at every single episode of the Charlie Kirk Show. I just got to play it again. So please right now, if you haven't, go back into prior episodes of the Charlie Kirk Show. And I'm going to play what Joe Biden said. Then I want to play a clip from Mark Stein on Tucker Carlson, which might have been one of the most beautiful pieces of television I've ever seen. It was laugh out loud, hilarious good. So let's play the clip first of Joe Biden talking about his leg hair and young children sitting on his lap. Play tape.
And by the way, you know, I sit on the stand and it get hot. I got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight and then watch the hair come back up again. They'd look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap. And I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
I don't know what that was, but let's play tape of Mark Stein on Tucker Carlson. I think it was one of the best 3 minutes of television I've ever seen. It was just smooth, laugh out loud, Comedy Central style, hilarious stuff. Play tape.
I have waited all my life, Tucker, for a hairy-legged candidate. And this is the critical lane in the Democrat primary. We talk about the moderate lane, the socialist lane, the even more socialist lane. But the hairy leg lane has been wide open since Beto Instagrammed himself, shaving his legs back in August, and then using an arugula exfoliant to moisturize them. Biden cunningly saw that there was an opening for a hirsute-legged candidate.
To me, hairy legs just scream toxic masculinity. They're almost the definition of it.
Well, I think you're getting too hung up on it. You know, there's absolutely nothing weird about sitting a 7-year-old boy on your lap and inviting him to smooth down your leg hair and then watching it rise again. I believe, in fact, that 7-year-old boy was the junior lifeguard at the pool, young Kim Jong-un, who was there on a work exchange program from North Korea. And that's how he knows him. And that's why Kim Jong-un has seen those legs. And that's why he's terrified of Biden.
Whoever that kid is, I suspect he's now consulting his lawyer. Do you think that this, and this is like the macro political question, which I'm bound, duty bound to ask you as a cable news host, does all of this help or hurt Joe Biden in his, apparently his day job, his primary goal of getting the nomination for whatever party he belongs to?
I think on balance it helps him, because if he weren't crazy and talking gibberish, we'd be talking about how corrupt and squalid he and his family are. In fact, I originally, when he said it was the No Malarkey tour, I thought that was No Malarkey, who is the chairman of Burisma and I think he's an Uzbek oligarch, who actually wanted to come on the Iowa tour, but Hunter Biden wanted to charge him $47 million to accompany them. That's why it's the No Malarkey tour.
You know, I really should let our viewers know that none of this is scripted. You have no idea what the questions are going to be. I just throw it out, whatever comes on the top of my head, and those are your responses.
No, it's like a Biden campaign appearance, live.
Right. So good. Mark Stein, thank you.
You know what that tells me, listening to Tucker Carlson and Mark Stein, kind of just going on a tangent? How dead is late night comedy? I mean, this stuff is ready to make fun of itself. And yet I've not seen one funny thing from Jimmy Kimmel or from Stephen Colbert or Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Fallon's probably the least offender. He seems to be the most lighthearted about it, and the least political. But I'll tell you what, do you notice that no one really laughs at these shows anymore, yet they clap? I mean, I watched Trevor Noah's show and everyone's clapping and no one's laughing. It shouldn't be called Comedy Central. It should be Communist Central. I mean, it's as if these people are more focused on destroying Donald Trump than laughing and having a good time about it. That's a perfectly respectable thing, I guess, if you hate America and are very unhappy with yourself. Just go to MSNBC to do that. In fact, I think MSNBC is funnier than Comedy Central. Just watch All In with Chris Hayes. I mean, the guy is a disaster with his analysis, not to mention you got Lawrence O'Donnell, who makes an incorrect observation about basically everything. The one thing that bothers me the most about MSNBC, why does Rachel Maddow wear the same thing every single night? Is it part of just kind of, is there a strategy behind it? Is there some sort of like three-dimensional chest where one time she's going to come out and boom, wear like a red dress? It's the same thing every single night. Really bothers me. Next question.
Charlie, I'm seeing a lot of people on Twitter talk about Christian nationalism and drag queen story hour. Do you think it's on the rise? And if so, what's causing it?
So look, this is a really important question. There was a debate between David French and Sohrab Ahmari. I apologize for pausing. I just don't want to mispronounce it. And it was basically about, a lot of it was focused on this idea of the child's drag story hour or drag queen story hour. And to be honest, I'm a little bit in the middle. I mean, David French, I would have been more in the David French camp, where he argued that, okay, there are drag queens doing story hour to young children, and we should do nothing because basically we should allow it to happen. We should say it's detestable. He agreed that it was disgusting, but basically we should not use the law against that because it could be used against us in the future. And Sohrab Ahmari said, are you kidding me? This is disgusting. We need to do something dramatic against it. And if we don't do something, at what point is the societal and cultural decay enough? And I have gone through, in a lot of different ways, especially in the last year and a half, I'm getting closer and closer towards that we have to do something about this sort of societal decay, and that it actually does affect all of us. The fact that, you know, drag queens should be able to have open access to young children. I mean, look, all the left does is rob children of their innocence. That's why I hate this argument. When the left says, oh, Donald Trump, we can't have the president on in front of our children. Yeah, okay, but you're perfectly fine with sending them to a public school when Planned Parenthood comes in and does sex education when they're 9 years old. Oh, we can't have the president on with one of his MAGA rallies because he might swear. Yet then you go take him to like an NC-17 movie, you know, where there's someone with an automatic machine gun, not wearing any clothes, saying the F word every other word. But that's perfectly fine. That sort of societal decay is opening the minds of our young children. But you see young children being exposed to these horrible, horrible things. And so basically, this is going to be the new debate on the right, which is, where are the guardrails that we put in place of some of this leftist garbage and this leftist cancer that they're putting into our country? At what point do we say that government should play a role? And look, I'm very apprehensive and I'm very skeptical to use government at all. In fact, I think government should do the least amount possible. But I'm getting closer and closer to the argument that if we do not do something bold and dramatic, we're going to have a country that is soon unrecognizable, where you have children deciding to choose their own gender. I mean, at Palatine High School, right down the street where I went to high school, I went to Wheeling High School, right down the street at Palatine High School, you now have men who think they are women that are now able to compete, that are able to go into locker rooms and compete in sports against biological women. I think if President Trump had a rally just called that Men Aren't Women, I think this would be a great idea for a rally. President Trump could have the Men Aren't Women and Women Aren't Men rally. I think people would flock from all across the world to go to this rally. And he should give a speech saying, men are not women and women are not men. Not that there's anything wrong with people who think that they are, but it's just not true. If he says that and he says, I, as President of the United States, I'm going to sign an executive order that any school that allows a biological man who thinks he's a woman to compete against other women in collegiate sports will lose all their federal funding. It would absolutely blow the lid off of this entire nonsense that the left has created around transgenderism. By the way, where are the feminists in this whole debate? Where are the feminists that are taking a hardline stand? So I want a shirt that says men are not women. If you guys think I'm totally wrong and you think that women are men and men are women, email me at freedom@charliekirk.com. That's freedom@charliekirk.com. And you guys might say, well, Charlie, that's kind of ironic. You want to, is it freedom? You should have the freedom. Of course you have the freedom to make mistakes. Of course you have the freedom to do stupid stuff, but I also have the freedom to call balls and strikes. And I have the freedom to tell you that you're wrong. And I'm going to tell you that men are not women and women are not men. The holiday shopping season is here, and this year your gift can start a next year's good habit with Quip. Quip is something that's sure to put a smile on everyone's mouth. because it's dental care they'll actually want to use every single day. That's why Quip is the perfect, thoughtful, and practical gift with an electric toothbrush, refillable floss, and toothpaste all intentionally designed to make good habits simple. The Quip electric toothbrush has sensitive sonic vibrations and a timer with 30-second pulses to guide your routine, and the Quip floss dispenser has pre-marked strings so you can always use the right amount. Plus, Quip delivers brush heads, floss, and toothpaste, which refills every 3 months. Join over 3 million happy customers and check everyone off your gift list right now with Quip. I can tell you, they do an amazing job. Built-in two-minute timer pulses every 30 seconds to remind you when to switch sides and to help you clean your whole mouth evenly. So go to right now, getquip.com/Kirk to save on gift sets. That's your first refill free at getquip.com/Kirk. That's getquip.com/Kirk, getquip.com/Kirk.
Charlie, if you were going to ban one congressperson and one senator from ever being elected again, who would they be? Follow-up question, who was the worst president of all time?
Well, okay, so I don't like the word ban because I'm going to get attacked from everyone. But if I, okay, so the person that really irritates me the most in the United States Congress, let's put it this way, is Maxine Waters. She is impressively stupid. She's unbelievably dumb. And so I'm going to, let's play tape right now of her with the heads of the, she's the head, chairwoman or the chairman, whatever. I don't want to, I don't know how the genders work over there. Okay. The chairperson, the chair human of the Financial Services Committee. And she had the heads of all the banks, and she was asking them questions about student loans. And she didn't even know they were not doing student loans anymore. She thought they were still issuing student loans. I knew that. Let's play tape.
Thank you. Today there are more than 44 million Americans that owe, this is student loan crisis. $1.56 trillion in student loan debt. Last month, this committee received testimony that last year, 1 million student loan borrowers defaulted, which is on top of the 1 million borrowers who defaulted the year before. What are you guys doing to help us with the student loan debt? Who would like to answer first? Mr. Monahan, Big Bank.
We stopped making student loans in 2007 or so.
Oh, so you don't do it anymore. Mr. Corbett?
We exited student lending in 2009.
Mr. Diamond?
When the government took over student lending in 2010 or so, we stopped doing all student lending.
Thank you.
Maxine Waters also encouraged people to come after, to go after people like myself, saying, get in their face, scream at them, play tape.
And so let's stay the course. Let's make sure we show up wherever we have to show up. And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd, and you push back on them, and you tell them they're not welcome.
Maxine Waters, not a fan. If she never serves again in the U.S. Congress, not to mention she got supremely rich while her district is in total complete ruin and disrepair. She is a dishonorable woman. She's a dishonorable Democrat. Senator Dick Durbin, this guy's a disaster. I'm from my home state of Illinois. He's so dishonest. He's so sanctimonious. He's so self-righteous. Dick Durbin, I wish you would not have to serve my original home state of Illinois any longer. You irritate me to no end. Look, the worst president that gets heralded as a good president is Lyndon Baines Johnson. Bitter racist, started the Great Society program, continued the illegal and borderline immoral war in Vietnam. Lyndon Baines Johnson got people addicted to government programs, grew government tremendously. Really, really bad guy. Also a president that was horrible was Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He gets unneeded credit for what he did. He had all these horrible programs that we're still trying to get rid of that totally and dramatically increased the size and scope of government. But worse than all of them put together and combined was Woodrow Wilson. This guy was a disaster. I think Senator Elizabeth Warren is closest to Woodrow Wilson ideologically and also from a worldview perspective. So those are my opinions of some of my least favorite people that have served in United States political office. And I think that it's very important that we understand and know our history. And far too often people don't talk about what presidents were good and what presidents weren't so good. What do those three presidents have in common? Woodrow Wilson, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and Lyndon Baines Johnson. They were unapologetic leftists that grew government, shrank freedom and liberty, and put this country in a far less competitive and advantageous situation.
Charlie, I want to get involved in politics, but don't know where to start. I'm 18 and just about to head off to college. What should I do?
So if you guys want to get involved, the best way to start is to get involved with Turning Point USA, tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. Have a massive Palm Beach Student Action Summit coming up. We have Ben Shapiro, Glenn Beck, Candace Owens, Dan Crenshaw, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, and many others. tpusa.com/SAS. Get engaged. Get involved. That's tpusa.com/SAS. Start a chapter. Get involved at the local level and do something active. Make phone calls, knock on doors, do something that matters, get engaged. You're never too young to make a difference. Great show, everybody. I really appreciate it. Thank you guys so much. This is always fun. So right now, if you guys want to get in on the next Ask Me Anything episode we're doing, email freedom@charliekirk.com. That's freedom@charliekirk.com. Make sure you are subscribed to The Charlie Kirk Show. Type in Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider. Press subscribe and download every single episode you possibly can. Download them all. Download that you can, and get a friend to do the same. Thank you guys so much for listening. Support our sponsors. Till next time, this is Charlie Kirk, or the host of The Charlie Kirk Show. This was fun. Talk to you soon.